I wanted to read this morning the first 13 verses of Acts chapter 2. Now, this is the story of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit coming of Pentecost. And I don't want to deal with the fruit of the Spirit or the gifts of the Spirit in any way. I just want us to look today. I felt very, very drawn to looking at this scripture just from the point of view of the Holy Spirit, looking at him, recognizing the one who is among us to achieve God's glory and praise, and hopefully inspiring us all to rest more and more day by day in allowing him to have his way, whatever that means. So God wants to bless us with this this word, and I trust that you and I, because it can speak to me as well as can speak to you, that's for sure, and that we all have open minds and ready hearts. So let's read Acts chapter 2 and the first 13 verses. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying at Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, the crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that we each of us hears them in his own language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, Cretans, and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said they have had too much wine." That's a pretty familiar scripture, isn't it? We look at it each year as time reaches that point in the year. But what I wanted to do is simply to look at the Spirit who is spoken of in that passage, to simply recognize what a privilege it is that we have the Holy Spirit with us day by day. He's the third person of the Trinity. But every day that you get up in the morning, he's there. And while you sleep, he's there. And whatever circumstance you or I find ourselves in any day, he is there. This means, of course, that we can call on him. We can pray at a moment's notice. We can trust him to lead us and to guide us, to inspire us, to challenge us, and to bless us in whatever way is right in God's eyes. And so that's a really wonderful situation. It really is. And we're called by the scriptures to walk in the Spirit. That's all the time. It's not just on Sundays. It's not just sort of on special weeks at Easter or something like that. We are called, you are called, I am called to walk in the Spirit every day. And for that, I guess we need to have a quiet spirit of our own, into which the Holy Spirit can speak. It's not easy in a busy world. And some of you have very tense situations at work, maybe. But God is able to make it real for you and real for me, so that we can have that quiet spirit into which he can speak. It's wonderful that God wants to communicate with us. It is an incredible thought, if you allow yourself to dwell on it a bit, that he, Almighty God, should want to speak to you, should want to speak to me, to communicate with us. And so we have, as in granted, that we have the Holy Spirit with us, that he might be with us every day and every moment. So God is with us through him every day and every moment. And we're called to walk in the Spirit in that way. In verse 2, we read these words. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Notice those words, filled the whole house where they were sitting. Not just one room, not just a few rooms, but filled the whole house where they were sitting. God doesn't want to do a partial job through his Spirit with you and me. He wants to do the real thing. He wants to fill every situation by his presence. He wants to teach us that he's there at a moment's notice in all circumstances. You may meet with non-Christians either during your work or in some way or other, or even here in the hall outside on some days. The truth is this, that when we meet with non-Christians, the Spirit is there. And we need to bear that in mind, because we never know when God will call us to witness. It's not automatic. You don't want to be the sort of person who grabs everybody by the scruff of the neck and does it, witnesses. That's not witnessing at all. That doesn't give a good picture of the Lord at all. But what is good is that the Spirit will lead us. And as the Spirit leads us, then we know it's of God. And so our witnessing is sowing on fertile ground, because that's what God does. And he's able to do it with non-Christians. Because it's every situation. You go down to the corner shop. You go down to get something, yes. You go down to buy something. But as you're paying the bill, God may speak to you or speak to me and say, give them your testimony, or something more precise, just mention church. Who knows? But we need to have minds that are open so that the Spirit can work with us on a moment by moment and a daily basis in this way. And then there's those accidental meetings we have. We suddenly come across someone we've not seen maybe for a year or more. And suddenly you find yourself face to face with this person. It can be God's opportunity for you to share your faith. Rest in the Spirit. And if the Spirit prompts, and if the Spirit leads, and if you feel this is what God wants you to do, then share it with them. Because you didn't expect to meet, and you may never meet again. So God wants to do things with you and me that are in his heart and are part of his life. And so we need to walk with him in these ways. We need to have an open mind. You know, there are some of us, and it's very easily, I guess I've been in this situation more than once, where I've thought to myself, oh, I'd never witness in that situation. No, that wouldn't be appropriate. I couldn't do it. God wants us to have a completely open mind so that if he wants to do it, then he will empower us so that it can be done. And in doing that, we shall find incredible blessing. Because once you witness according to the power of the Spirit, you come away knowing that you've sown the seed of life in somebody else's mind. And that's no small thing. It's no small thing. You are, Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and you are with me, and I am in you. So through him, you are the light of the world, and I am the light of the world. That is a thought beyond comprehension. But in our own circle, in the area where we move and live, with our neighbors, friends, and whatever else, we are the light of the world under him. And as long as we're led by the Spirit, then we won't do things wrong, we'll do things correctly. We need to rest in him and trust in him so that he shows us the moment to speak. He shows us just when to share, and he opens the door to make it possible. Incredible things when you think about it. In verse 4, we read these words. All of them were filled with the Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So this enabling, I don't want to talk about the tongues. I want to talk about the enabling as the Spirit enabled them. This enabling is part of what you and what I am called to by God's grace. He enables us. Everything is possible with him. You know that. You'd say, yes, that's true. So whatever he wants you to do, whatever he wants me to do, is possible. Because we rest in him. And because of this, we are enabled. I can remember, and I've mentioned this before, but you'll probably, some of you won't have heard it before, so I'll just repeat it. But I can remember when I was 19 years of age at Royal Crown Derby, and I was walking down one of the corridors, which was outside the dipper's room. Now, the dipper at that time, I can't remember his name even, but the dipper at that time was probably the most foul-mouthed and spiritually aggressive person in the whole of the factory. He had a real reputation, whichever department you went in, if you mentioned the dipper, they said, oh yeah, the guy who swears, and you know. So it was interesting was that as I walked past his department with a tract in my back pocket, the Spirit spoke to me and said, go and give it to the dipper. And I went to the room I was going to, which was a small room where I was going to be on my own for a bit. And as I got there, I thought, I can't give it to the dipper. Come on. But the Spirit persisted. And so in the end, I left that room and I went into his department. And he had 20 girls in there all putting transfers on plates and stuff because he was putting the glaze on top after they'd done the transferring. And I just went up to him. And I thought, well, Lord, it's in your hands. You seem to be telling me to do it. I'm going to do it. So I did it. And I gave it to him. I expected him to tear it up. I really did. I expected to give me a mouthful of bad language and tell me to clear off. He picked it up after I gave it to him. He looked at it. And he said, oh, that's interesting. Somebody else has given me one of these. I think I'd better read them both. And so I came away. I've no idea what happened to him. He went back to Stoke-on-Trent, but I have no idea whether it made a difference in his life or not. But you get the point about sowing the seed. If we're obedient to the guidance of the Spirit, then he will enable us to do those things which seem very, very difficult. And in verse 6 we read these words. When they heard this sound, the crowd came together in bewilderment, because they all, each one, heard them speaking in his own language. In his own language. This was an amazing day. These non-Christians heard them speaking in their language, whoever they happened to be. You see, God has the power to tailor every situation that you find yourself, that I find myself in. He has the power to tailor every situation to his purposes and to his blessing. And because they heard everyone in their own language, you can be sure of this. That when the Spirit prompts you to witness, go with what you feel is right. I must go with what I feel is right. And witness in the way that comes to mind. Trusting that the Holy Spirit is leading me and guiding me. And if we do that, then we can be the sort of people who will really share their truth. And who will be heard. And those you witness to, whether they sort of are impressed or not, you may never know. But the point is, it's possible. We are enabled by the Holy Spirit, and all that we have to do is to seek to be ready. So where you are this coming week, in whatever situation, when there's non-Christians around, just be ready. Don't assume you've got to do it. But let the Spirit prompt you, if he will. Ask him to make it clear. And if we each of us, as God's people, walk with God in that way, then the witness is going to go out, isn't it? the message is going to spread. And God is going to be able to share with anyone he chooses through your contact and mine, the truth of his love and of his grace. And then in verse 13, we read these words. Some, however, made fun of them and said, they have had too much wine. Some made fun of them. I suppose, if we're honest, the idea of witnessing to some non-Christians is just a joke. And they may just make fun of us. And we have to be ready for that. And so if they do make fun of us, we can rest in this. It is of God. If we are walking in the Spirit, if we are seeking to follow God in the way that he chooses, then when he prompts and we know it's him, we can leave the issues in his hand. That's really important. So that we can be people who obey the Spirit, walk with the Spirit, and see his hand upon us in a powerful way. We simply have to be ready for them when they make fun of us. And I guess the reaction that we should locate with, and the thing that we should learn and be ready with, is this, that we don't respond as they make fun of us. We don't respond with anger. This is in the Lord's hands, not yours, not mine. We do not respond with anger. If we get angry, then our Christian testimony, because they laughed at us and because they made fun of us, our Christian testimony goes down the tubes. We need to be resting in God at all times. So there must be no anger when someone makes fun of us. There should be no resentment. Don't come away from that person who makes fun of you thinking, I'll never speak to them again. That's resentment, and God doesn't want that. God may call you to speak to them again tomorrow. You never know. The thing is, it's in his hands, and this is the big thing. It's all in his hands. He prompted you in the first place. If he wants to prompt you again, then he can. And so when they make fun, no anger, no resentment, but simply be gentle, be godly, and show acceptance of that person as they are. It doesn't mean you have to tell them they're right. What it does mean is that you simply show a spirit of acceptance. It's almost as if you put your arms around them. Do it in spirit, and they will feel it. God's Holy Spirit will be at work, and you don't know what it will lead to. I don't know what it will lead to if we can simply have that response when they make fun of us. No anger, no resentment, but simply godly, gentle acceptance. Embracing it as we would embrace the Lord. And that, you see, that moment can be a turning point in their view of Christianity. Suddenly they've met somebody who isn't stuffing it down the throat. Suddenly somebody who's not hitting them over the head with it, but someone who recognizes their need but doesn't push it. If we can be in that situation, then I believe that we truly are the servants of God.